I'm going to have you turn to Psalm 34 this morning, and this will kind of get us back on track where we were in our study entitled Midnight Bible Stories. We've been going over a lot of these. And Psalm 34, my wife always tells me, you know, you're having a bad day or you think you are, read this psalm, you know. And it was one of her, it's one of her favorites. It was one of her dad's favorites. And verse 19 of Psalm 34 says this: many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. I think that would be a good theme headline to put in with the Midnight Bible Stories, because this is what they're all about. And there's Midnight Bible Stories all throughout Scriptures. And we've been talking about one in Acts, the 16th chapter, so turn there now. And I appreciate how everybody follows along and turns to these Scriptures. And let's read a few verses here. We find Paul on his second missionary journey. He's added, Silas was traveling with him. They've added Timothy to the collection of those traveling with him there in the earlier verses. Also, Luke has now joined them, and they're in Philippi in verse 12 of Acts 16. And it says, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake to the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. Paul was preaching and speaking Paul's gospel message. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And I want to read verse 16 and 17 and maybe 18. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. I'm going to stop there. Now, we are to follow Paul like he followed Christ. And many are the afflictions of the righteous, we read. And he had a lot of tests along the way. And we're all going to have tests. And we're all going to have trials. And so let me just get back into this. And the thought will come together here as it needs to be presented. When Paul and them and his group in Acts 16 came down to the riverside and found Lydia and her household worshiping God, they were hearing Paul's gospel message. And up till verse 16 and 17, Paul hadn't faced any opposition that we've been told of. I mean, there was obstacles as there is in every day. But that's about to change, as we just read. And in order to be a full overcomer, and we talk about this a lot, there are things ordained of God that must be placed on our race course for us to overcome. like obstacles. And these are put before us to overcome in order to be the full overcomer God wants us to be. And when some of our tests and some of our trials are severe, it seems to us. And that's the way it's supposed to be. We're to live by faith. That's an unusual concept in our day and age. But Paul's life is our example of the very fact that we are to follow Paul as he followed Christ. And as we do, we are to expect obstacles. We are to expect trials. We are to expect tests. And we are to expect opposition. And we can't pick and choose how that's going to be. You know, Mitch recently got laid off from his job, 29 years. Well, that's kind of a severe test, seems to me. And the Lord will take him through it. In the meanwhile, we can pray for Mitch and Aline. Nevertheless, we're to be followers of Paul as he was of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 11:1. I think David read that this morning. In Philippians 3:17, we talked about this a couple weeks ago and even last week. It says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample." So we're to be followers of Paul. And 2 Corinthians 11:2, which I think we read this morning, tells us why we are to follow Paul as he followed Christ. Because Paul writes, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Well, as we follow Paul, as he followed Christ, as you know from those of you that were here during the time frame when we did the study on the life of the Apostle Paul, he had a lot of tests. He had a lot of trials. He had a lot of opposition. And he was told that was the way it was going to be for him. And that's the way it's going to be for us too, if we want God's best. And furthermore, we cannot overcome any of these foreordained obstacles in our own power, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's found in 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. And it was the Apostle Paul who wrote this, after having much experience with much tests and many trials. Go to Ephesians 6, and we were there on Wednesday night with Michael Coe as he went over some of the these verses, specifically 10 and 11. Ephesians 6, 10, we'll read there. This is the warfare of the believer. This is our armament. It says in Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord," not in yourself, "and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, or over all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that's your Bible, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, oftentimes, as we run our race, these obstacles to overcome on our race course are presented to us from the enemy himself. And you know this to be true. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, as is found in Revelation 12, verse 9. In Genesis 3:1, we were told that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God made. And when we did our meaning of the different Bible numbers that we did, we found that there were 18 names mentioned in Scripture referencing Satan, and that each of these 18 names came in groups of six. 6 + 6 + 6 = 18. And some of the names of Satan are tempter, destroyer, devourer, serpent, wicked one, adversary, the devil, and enemy. And turn to 2 Corinthians 2:11. And we'll read something there that the full overcomer must learn to recognize, that these obstacles placed on our race course, what they're about. And 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of it, us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And he has a lot of devices anymore, more so than ever. Go back to Acts 26:16-18, and we reference this a lot. It's that 199-word sentence Jesus told Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus about the darkness of Satan and the power of Satan. And Jesus told Saul of Tarsus, our apostle Paul, when he asked, what would you have me to do, Lord? He says, but rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Where did Paul get his gospel that David talked about this morning, that we talked about last Sunday? Paul's gospel message, it came from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said right here, which I will appear unto thee, verse 17, delivering thee from the people. The people in this case would be the Jews, and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. The apostle Paul is the apostle unto the Gentiles. Verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and note this part, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Implied in this statement, and the apostle Paul understood this, is the fact that there are things ordained of God that must be placed on the apostle Paul's, and in your mind too, race course. Things like obstacles, which are to be put before him in order for him to become the full overcomer God wants him to become, and the fact that Jesus himself will be the one, the only one, who can deliver him from these often perilous obstacles. And put your name in there. It's the same for all of us. It's what we read about this morning in Psalm 34:19. So we repeat what we said last time I was here when we were talking, a verse found in Philippians 1:29. turn there, because it's a pretty profound. And I think you all are familiar with this, but Paul wrote this to these same saints that are here at Philippi that he's just founding this church there in Acts 16. But Philippians 1:29 says this, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." And Brother Hill, when he did his study, we talked about this. He said, it's our privilege. This is our privilege to suffer for his sake. Why do we not look at it that way? Or do you? Maybe you do. Because we don't like to suffer. Yeah, I want God's best, but don't test me. Don't give me any trials. But give me your best. But, I got conditions here I need you to meet. That ain't the way it's going to be, right? So we are to expect and to find some dark testing times as we continue a long life's journey, as we continue with this midnight Bible story that we're reading about here in Acts 16. The reason this story is written in the first place, Acts 16, and the reason we have Acts 16 in Scripture, it's for our eternal benefit, so we can learn something. So the fact that there will be opposition from Satan at every turn along life's pathway is an underlying theme throughout all of Scripture. And this ever-present opposition faces both sinner and saint. You're going to have trials, whether you believe God or not. Maybe it'd be better to believe God, right? Now, the fact is that there is a deliverer, and we're going to talk about a deliverer here for a few minutes, from such opposition. And this deliverer is with a capital D because it references our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so there is a deliverer from such opposition. And this is probably a bigger underlying theme throughout all of Scripture. What kind of obstacle did Moses face at the Red Sea? That was big. But there was a deliverer, wasn't there? If you're in Acts 16, go back for a moment to Acts 13:22. And the Apostle Paul there was preaching a sermon in Antioch in Pisidia. And that sermon, from verses about 16 through, I think it's 41, 42, somewhere in there where it ends. That's a pattern sermon that Paul preached at the first time he went to a synagogue in a town that he went to, or when he first preached. That's what he did. He went through the history. You go back and see that sermon that Stephen preached in Acts 7, that's what he did. He went through in a synagogue of the Jews. They're familiar with Jewish history, the history of Israel. So they discussed all these events. Well, in Acts 13:22, the Apostle Paul acknowledged that David was a man after God's own heart. And if you've studied David, you know it has to be true. You also know that David did some pitiful things along the way. And but I'm going to read some things that are David's statements. And these are found as David acknowledged that the Lord was his deliverer. And you can put a capital D there. So we'll go back to 2 Samuel 22. And there's five statements we're going to read. You all know that five is the number of grace. Well, if you don't know that, you do now. And so maybe David was a grace saint. You think? All saints are grace saints. Think about it. We're all saved by grace. So as a grace saint, for sure, we should acknowledge the Lord as our deliverer, shouldn't we? These five scriptures I want to reference. So we'll go to 2 Samuel 22:1. And it says there, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul." Verse 2, "And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my," what? "Deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." Turn over to Psalms 18:2, and we'll read basically the same thing because it's the same song. Psalm 18:2, David is wrote this psalm. David wrote all these psalms that we're referencing this morning. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." Why are things repeated in Scripture? For emphasis. We learn by line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, here little, there little. And of course, we all got photographic memories. We can remember what we just were talking about, right? No. We need a reinforcement. That's how we learn. Okay, you're in Psalms. Go to Psalm 40. David wrote this psalm too. And you're going to identify with this, I think. You should. Psalm 40, verse 17. David says there, "But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." He knew that, didn't he? Go to Psalm 70. Let's see if I got this one right. Verse 5. Remember what we just said. "But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying." Didn't we just read that? Line upon line again. Psalm 144, verse 2. I want to go to verse 1. "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war, my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." Well, these kind of thoughts were the thoughts that David had, the prayer that he had, and he acknowledged that the Lord was his deliverer. And as you go through and look these things up and review these things again, think about this for a moment. These were written over the course of David's life. They weren't written all at once. They weren't written all in one day. Some of them were written when he was younger. Some were written when he was older. But the fact is that no matter the test or the trial, whether he was young or whether he was old, it was still the Lord who was his deliverer. Put your name in there. And somebody, I think, mentioned this morning too. I heard it somewhere. I don't know where. But Paul wrote in Hebrews 13:8, because he was thinking about this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And obviously David knew this too, didn't he? And so will all that will be a full overcomer. Okay? Again, that verse I gave you this morning, Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Who wrote that? David. Right? Go to Galatians, the first chapter. And I think I'll read some verses that David didn't read this morning. Galatians 1, 3 through 5. And this is Paul writing this. Galatians 1:3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Why? That he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go now to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. And Paul again writes about the Lord, our deliverer. 2 Corinthians 1, we'll read 9 and 10. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Got a test or a trial or obstacle? Better look to the Lord. He's going to deliver you. He wants you to look to him to be your deliverer. So this is the heart attitude of a full overcomer. That is to trust in God, for indeed he is our deliverer. In 2 Timothy 4:18, we read Paul's parting words to Timothy, and probably the last portion of scripture that he wrote. 2 Timothy 4:18 says, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Where was Paul's focus? Always upon the Lord. And the Lord was always his deliverer. The Lord was a man after God. David was a man after God's own heart, and he was David's deliverer. Who's your deliverer? So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is our deliverer. And thus we find why Paul was able to write what he did in Romans 8:37. He says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And then I want you to turn to 1 John 4:4 and the Apostle John acknowledged basically the same thing, but this is an important point that you need to at least have underlined in your Bible, if not in your heart. And in 1 John 4:4, John writes, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Okay, so as a race course runner, keep these thoughts foremost in your mind as you run your God-given, obstacle-filled race course. And we're all going to have the tests and the trials. Okay, go back to Acts 16 now, because we've introduced the fact that all race course runners will face many obstacles and seemingly endless opposition in their daily walk with the Lord. And so, again, let's read what we read earlier, starting in verse 16 of Acts 16. "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us." Now, there's no way that they would know that this girl had this spirit of divination in her when they first met her, and they wouldn't have known this either, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, not on the first day that they met her. "And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And it says in verse 18, "This she did many days." And what this damsel spoke was certainly true. And like we said, at first we wouldn't see anything amiss here. If we were there, we wouldn't know that this young slave girl was possessed with a spirit of divination. And Jesus, too, was faced with these kind of obstacles as he walked his path in life. And while he was here on earth, that is, there were those possessed with unclean spirits who spoke true statements concerning Jesus. So this isn't the first time this has happened. I'll give you three examples of this. Go to Mark, the first chapter. And these are going to be three different scriptures we're going to reference, examples of true statements spoken by those possessed with unclean spirits. Interesting, huh? Mark, first chapter, starting in the 23rd verse. "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." That was a true statement. "And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee." Go to Mark, the third chapter, and we'll start in verse 7. And it says there, "But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude. And when they had heard that great things he did, they came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God." True statement. wasn't it? And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. We might have time for one more. Go back to, to Luke, 4th chapter. And we find Jesus here in verse 31. Came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What word is this? For with authority and with power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went into every place of the country round about. Verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. I guess we ran out of time, so we'll have to pick up there if the Lord tarries next time.